of FBT. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 19. We start into our next chapter here in this wonderful gospel, and it is such a significant story. It's probably best known for the children's church song that we would use so often in children's church. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Aren't you glad I didn't sing that? It's all right. I can quote it. It's better to quote it than to sing it. But perhaps if you were in children's church at any given time, you would maybe have heard that song. But we read this story in Luke chapter 19. I want to read one verse, and I want to highlight this verse, and then we'll use it as our springboard. This verse is the springboard into the sea of humanity. We might even more specifically say that this verse is the springboard into the sin of humanity. If you'll look down with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you are in the habit of underlining verses of Scripture in the Bible or highlighting them, that this is the crux of the matter. The Son of Man came from heaven down to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what was lost? We travel all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, and we find that man was originally created in perfection. And Adam and Eve were occupying the garden of God and enjoyed sweet fellowship with Almighty God and fellowship with Him day and night. And they enjoyed perfection, but there was one rule in the garden. They could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There came a day where Eve was deceived by Satan, and Adam willfully chose to partake in the sin with Eve, and the Bible says they both did eat. And in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that because of that sin, that there is that matter of sin and that matter of death that is now passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is anything that I say, do, or think that displeases a holy God. And the Bible says that the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? All of mankind. All of creation. The Bible says all of creation groaneth as a result of the sin of Adam. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This verse comes at the end of a story that really details for us what Jesus Christ has come to save. Who is lost? Who did He come to find? Who is He looking for? We're going to walk down through this story and we're going to see an example of what Christ has come to save. Would you notice with me as we walk through this story, first of all, He is looking for despised men. He is looking for despised men. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Understand with me first and foremost that Jesus is looking for despised men. Zacchaeus was a man that was despised by his fellow men. He was despised because of his work. He was a Jewish man that was collecting taxes from other Jews that he might pay those taxes to the Romans. We see Matthew, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, was a tax collector. In chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we read about the publican that went up into the temple to pray. Rome had determined that they were going to bring taxation upon everyone under their empire, and so it brought this matter to certain individuals to collect those taxes. And in many ways, they would not just collect the tax that would be then forwarded to Rome. They would collect additional taxes, and people would pay that additional amount. And so it is clear that Zacchaeus was a despised man because of his work, but he was also a despised man because of his wealth. That wealth had been brought about on the backs of other fellow Jews. And he was despised with all of those riches. And I'm sure that as he passed different individuals, that there was much said behind his back and there was much hatred towards this man. He was despised by his fellow man. But Jesus Christ came looking for despised men. Would you notice with me in number three in verse number three, he's not only a despised man, but he's a disadvantaged man, the Bible says. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. He was a disadvantaged man. Jesus had come to this earth looking for despised men, but Jesus also came looking for disadvantaged people. Say this morning, Pastor, I have this disadvantage or that disadvantage. In the case of Zacchaeus, he had a disadvantage related to his stature. He was short of stature. And perhaps there are those that would say this morning, I wish I were taller. I wish that I was this height or that height. I watched growing up other basketball players, and I always thought to myself, Lord, why couldn't you make me 6'10" so that I could dominate everyone around me and dunk like all these other people dunk? And I can't even barely reach the net with my vertical leap. And then, in 2004, I hired a youth pastor that was 6'10". He had come to us with Neighborhood Bible Time in 2002, and I said to him, if the time ever comes that you are looking for a position and considering an opportunity, if we have an opening, I would love the opportunity to have you come back and work with us. And so 2 years went by, and he had finished his master's in Christian college, and he called me and said, Pastor Todd, I'm looking for a position. And I said, man, I'd love to have you come. 6'10", he had a 7-foot wingspan. The halls of the basement of our church were right at 7 foot. And so he walked around the halls of our church dodging light after light after light. You'd always have to bend over to get through that doorway and everything like this. And inevitably everyone would ask him, you play basketball? He'd respond, I don't know, do you play miniature golf? You know, he'd have some kind of comeback. And we interacted with him for those years, and it was quite something. He could have absolutely dominated any of us on the basketball court, but he was a gentle giant, a gentle giant. He could have stuffed every shot we took, and he was kind at times. So he faced the challenge of being tall. Others faced the challenge of being short. But let's talk about some more serious areas of disadvantage. Perhaps this morning you say to yourself, you know, I did not have the advantage of a mom and a dad the whole time that I was growing up. Perhaps you've been through the matter of a broken family and divorced home. Perhaps you've been in this circumstances where it's been a stepfather, stepmother, and you're looking around at other people in society and saying, you know, I've got this matter in my past. If I didn't have this issue, my life would be much different. Perhaps it's a cultural disadvantage, and you think to yourself, you know, I was raised in this culture, and everyone views this culture in a different way, and perhaps it's not a positive way. In traveling in different countries around the world, you recognize that in some countries, they still deal with the caste system. And if your name is a certain last name, then everyone looks at you according to what they expect from that last name. And they will think to themselves, okay, this is your last name, so you're going to fit into this caste, and that caste could perhaps be lower than the caste of others. Perhaps it's a cultural matter. Perhaps it's your standing in society. You say, Pastor Todd, I don't have the wealth, I don't have the background, the prestige, I don't have the prosperity or the income that would give me the advantages that others have had. And you'd say, in some way, shape, or form, I'm disadvantaged because of these things. You know, Christ came for the disadvantaged. This man was short of stature. He would have what we would say is a disadvantage in the issues of life, but Jesus Christ came looking for him. Jesus not only came looking for the despised men and the disadvantaged men, but would you notice number three with me? He's looking for determined men. Verse number four, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He understood what it was like to have this crowd gathered around Jesus Christ and pressing in on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was determined to make eye contact, to lay eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, if you'll recall, in chapter 18, we looked at the issue that was there for that blind man, and the blind man was certainly a determined man, and when he heard that unusual crowd or that unusual commotion, he began to say to himself, this is different than every other day. I've not heard a commotion like this before. I wonder what's going on. And they returned, or they gave the response to the blind man, and they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to call out, Jesus, thou son of David. And you remember that they were irritated by what he was doing and by what he was saying, and they wanted the focus to be on Jesus Christ. And so they told him to be quiet. They rebuked him. The blind man would not stop. He stopped with the simple calling and began to cry out all the louder. In this circumstance, Zacchaeus was a short man, and he could not see over those individuals that were in front of him. And so he devised a plan to get up as high as he could because Jesus was going to pass that way. The blind man was a determined man. Zacchaeus was a determined man. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter number 10? Acts chapter 10. I want you to very quickly see another determined man. Acts chapter 10. The first 12 chapters of the book of Acts deal with the Apostle Peter reaching the Jewish people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 10, we begin to see a change in attitude as it related to Peter and his prejudice. And in Acts chapter 10, we have another determined man. And the Bible says here, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This is a determined man, determined to adhere to the religious works. But we see in the end of that chapter, if you take time to read verses 45 and following, you see that he went from that determined state to being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that entire chapter is about the change of heart for Peter to go and witness to Cornelius. And that's Acts chapter 10. And then we flow into Acts chapter 13. And of course, from chapter 13 through the end of the book, we find the Apostle Paul taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Cornelius went from religious to righteous. He was determined to fight through the snares and the traps that the devil had set. He was determined to seek the truth. And that's exactly what we find in this passage in both Luke chapter 18 with the blind man and then Luke chapter 19 with Zacchaeus. He's determined to overcome the obstacles that would hinder him from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. We jump off into the sea of humanity in verse number 10, and we know that Christ has come to seek that which was lost. Well, who is lost? Well, there are despised men that are lost. There are disadvantaged men that are lost. There are determined men that are lost. Would you look down at verse number 8? Notice what the Bible says here. Jesus Christ is looking for dishonest men. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus was honest with the Lord Jesus Christ in an area in which he had not been honest. He was a dishonest man. He had robbed many men. He had cheated many men. And Jesus Christ had come to seek dishonest men. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 26, we read of another dishonest man. His name was Barabbas. And the Bible says that Pilate looked out amongst the crowd and he determined to release someone unto the mob and unto the freedom that would be there. And he thought for sure that the mob would demand that they release Jesus Christ, in whom there was no fault. But he paired the Lord Jesus Christ up with this thief, up with this robber, up with this despised man, up with this hated man. And the crowd, led by the chief religious individuals, chanted, "Release unto us Barabbas." Barabbas. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 38. And then again in Luke chapter 23 and verses 39 to 43, we read of a thief on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was hung between two thieves. It was supposed to, in all likelihood, be a day in which the two thieves would be on each side of Barabbas. But Barabbas is set free. And now the two thieves, one on each side, begin to cast the same derision in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ as that which they hear from the crowd that passes by. But there's a turn. And the thief on the cross begins to understand Jesus Christ and who he is. And he looks at Jesus in a much different way and says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ there in his dying moments. You see, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and dishonest men are lost. Would you notice verse number 7? He's not only come for these other matters and seeking to save the lost, those that are despised, those that are disadvantaged, those that are determined, those that are dishonest, but he's also come to save the devout men. Look at verse number 7, when Jesus Christ has come and confronted Zacchaeus there in the tree. He said, "Today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7, these are the devout individuals or the religious individuals. And the Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "What has he that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner?" The devout people or the religious people stood in need of salvation. You see, being devout does not equal being saved. Devout men are not necessarily born again. Devout men are most often blinded by their religious adherence, and they go into eternity lost because they've adhered to religion and they were never made righteous. It's interesting that when you listen to people that are taking the gospel into places where the gospel has never been shared, they face certain challenges. They face perhaps the challenges of a polytheistic society And so as they go into that society, they face the challenge of giving these people the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but helping them understand that it is Christ plus nothing. That we must come to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. There are other challenges, though, when we take the gospel into areas in which there is great religion, especially when it involves religion related to the Word of God and to Christianity. One of the many challenges that we faced in the Bible Belt of Tennessee is knocking on doors and asking people if they knew Christ. And it was almost the pat answer, well, sure, I'm a Christian. And so the challenge that we faced there was not getting them out of a polytheistic religious view or stop following some other false god. It was really the challenge of getting them lost so that they could be found. They knew all the vernacular. They had read the Bible on so many different occasions. They knew the same terminology that we would share. In many cases in our church there in East Tennessee, there were individuals that had been in our Christian academy when the school was open. There were people that had almost been to our church or had relatives that were attending our church. It wasn't uncommon for everyone that you would pass for them to say, oh sure, I'm a Christian. I remember the first time that we traveled into some back nooks and crannies of our county, and we picked up some kids for vacation Bible school, and as we dropped them off after that first day of VBS, they said, we've never heard the song, Jesus Loves Me, or Jesus Loves the Little Children. And I was so dumbfounded by that, because it just seemed to be that everybody in our county was inundated with Christianity, with the gospel, and so the challenge was not to get them to believe in the Bible. The challenge was there to get them lost because they'd been so dependent upon their religious works. These devout individuals saw the situation there and they were furious that, that the Lord would go in and have a meal with a sinner. But in fact, my friend, that's exactly why Jesus came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking for devout men, men that may be steeped in religion but stand in need of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If a man will not get lost, he will not be found. If you sit before me this morning and think to yourself that you have no sin, you'll never have a need of the Savior. We read in Luke chapter 18, verse number 11, a passage that we looked at a number of Sundays ago about the Pharisee that went up into the temple to pray. In his mind, he had no need of a Savior because as he looked around, he was in pretty good shape. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 and following, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the religious crowd and he says to them, woe be unto thee, hypocrites, because you're blinded by religion. Verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ is certainly looking for despised men. Jesus is certainly looking for disadvantaged men. He's looking for determined men, individuals that will do whatever it takes to know the truth. He's looking for dishonest men. He's looking for devout men, people that have been steeped in religion but stand in great need of true righteousness. But would you notice with me again, verse number 10. Let's read verses 9 and 10. And here's the culmination of the story. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He is looking for all these different types of men, but here's the purpose of his look. He's looking to deliver all men. This morning, Jesus Christ desires to save you from your sin. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." A verse that I'm very mindful of in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Well, I tell you, it's really interesting when you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, because he began his testimonies by saying that he was the least of all of the apostles. But then towards the end of his life, you see him describing himself as the chiefest of sinners. And I would very much agree with the Apostle Paul in describing my own life. Jesus saved me, the chiefest of sinners. Jesus Christ came to deliver all men. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I know this was a little bit of a different way to digest the story of Zacchaeus, and I've thought about it in different ways, but I desired to present it to you this way, because perhaps you find yourself in one of these categories. You say, "Pastor, today, you know what, I'm not very well liked by society. I'm a despised man." I don't know why people would despise you, but Jesus Christ came to find you. Perhaps there's some this morning that would say, "You know, I have a disadvantage in this area or that area," but Jesus Christ came looking for you. Perhaps you're an individual that would say this today, "You know, I'm a determined person. I want to know the truth and I want to follow the truth." Jesus Christ is looking for you. Perhaps this morning you'd look back over the course of your life and you'd say, "You know, for the better part of my life has been really described as that of dishonesty." Jesus Christ came looking for you. Perhaps you describe yourself as a devout individual. You'd say, I've done everything that I can to adhere to the external things of religion, but there's never been a time where I have internally received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so even today you'd say, "You know, I'm devout, but I've never been born again." And I say to one and all today, you can be a delivered man. On this day, in 2022, Jesus Christ can pass by your house, your life, and He can take all these things that the world would say would hinder you in eternity, and He can come by your life and deliver you from whatever it is you're dealing with. Say, "Pastor, I don't think that God could save me." Well, if you would take some time to study the Bible, you'll find that God saved murderers, and God saved adulterers, and God saved thieves. He saved drunkards. He saved everyone that would come to Him. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you look down at verse number 10 again? "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Isn't it interesting this morning that I've used a wide variety of attributes, and yet they all pertain to one individual? You see, my friend, if I am guilty of one offense of the law, I am guilty of all. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is looking to
to save you from your sin. And today can be that day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for this great story. Zacchaeus stood in need of redemption. Religion cannot save. Adherence to the law cannot save. But Jesus Christ passed that way. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost in his sin, but Jesus saved him. Changed his present day life. He changed his future destination. And that same deliverance is still available to people today. We're not delivered by our own works. We're not delivered by our baptism. We're not delivered by giving money, being a good citizen. We're delivered by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we must put our faith and our trust in the finished work of Christ. And in so doing, we can be born again. It's amazing to me, all these different characteristics that have been brought up, and yet they're all found in one man. And Jesus passed that tree, looked up, and called Zacchaeus unto himself. It's entirely possible this morning that Jesus is passing by individuals here in this auditorium or passing by individuals watching online. And He knows the exact circumstance of every individual. He knows where they stand even today. And so I pray, my heart's prayer is that they would see themselves as they are lost, in need of being found. And as Jesus passes by and taps their shoulder by way of conviction, Lord, I pray that today they would respond and say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I trust You and You alone for my eternal life. I repent of that sin, and I ask You to come into my heart." Perhaps there's one or more that would do that today, and they'd walk away no longer the despised man or the disadvantaged man, no longer the dishonest man, but they'd walk out of these doors as delivered men, delivered from their sin. Would You work in this time of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? We have a time of invitation for us to reflect upon the truth of the story that's been delivered from the Scriptures. And it's the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ that as He preached, He drew men to a conclusion. He drew them to an invitation and He invited them to come. And so we do that here this morning. The hymn of invitation that we'll be playing in just a moment is the matter of 276, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're lost this morning and Jesus is convicting your heart right now over the nature of your sin, we invite you to come. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you stand in need of the Savior today, won't you come? If this is the place where God would have you to join, you know Christ is your Savior, you've been baptized since your salvation, we'd invite you to come and join with us here at FBT. Be a part, be an active part of this body of Christ. As the hymn of invitation is played, won't you do what God would have you to do today? Jesus paid it all. Works of the flesh, adherence to the law will never save. But
Jesus met the full demands of the law. He lived a perfect life. And he's come by your life right now with a desire to save you, to deliver you from the penalty of your sin, to deliver you for all eternity. We invite you to come this morning. Such a wide variety of illustrations in the scripture of people from all different kinds of wealth standards and cultural backgrounds and religious adherence. We see all of it there in the scriptures. You can be delivered from the penalty of your sin. You can have your sins washed away today. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, thank you so very much for this great story about Zacchaeus. And I pray, Father, that we not soon get away from that verse. It closes the story out. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If Jesus is identifying us right now and saying and tapping on the heart of an individual this morning and saying, yes, that passage is speaking about you, we pray, Father, that that verse would continue to ring in their heart and they'd consider these matters and the penalty of their sin and where their sin will take them. And the fact that the Savior came will call them by name and deliver them. He wants to deliver all men. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a wonderful, wonderful story of deliverance. We've seen the rich man that came to Jesus Christ and was afforded the opportunity to hear the truth of salvation, but he walked away, clinging to his riches. This wealthy man listened to what Jesus said, and he came out of all of that and was delivered. And oh, what wonderful, wonderful joy there is in the heart of a delivered man. Bless us now as we dismiss, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Excited for a decision from Jason and Marie Clark. We're so thankful for them. We've had the opportunity to interact with them and to hear of their testimony of salvation.